And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 2 p.m. Stay tuned next for the Visionary Activist Show.
Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. At this time of unfurling horror and conniption fits, since we've promoted to temporary prominence different forms of inquisition, the war on women, the war on Earth, the war on life, the prospect of the head of Exxon being the Secretary of State. Could it be a more vulgar and obvious cartoon? And so, more than perfectly, with her graciousness emerging from her replenishing boudoir for a moment, we welcome Max Dashu, offering her fantabulous book as a pledge in enticement, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, from Velada Press. Velada.net. So, welcome, Max.
Thank you, Caroline.
I'm so delighted. Yes, even just the table of contents is a feast of witches and pagans, women in European folk religion, 700 to 1100. The webs of weird. I love that. And I'm very Wicca craft. I'm so fond of the word craft.
Yes, craft. But, yeah. You know, craft meant power and skill, and it had all these other dimensions to it than what it was all reduced to in our modern English.
Yes, because it dignifies really anything, and we do want to, you know, dust things off, everything that we need at this time of dire beauty. And so stage craft, radio craft, story craft, witchcraft, wizardcraft, yeah. And so what did you say? It has power to it because it's about...
Power. It actually literally meant power, skill, strength. It had all these, the whole cascade of other meanings other than, like, we think of craftsperson.
Right.
And, you know, or crafty even, you know. And it was originally in Old English, had this much broader sense to it, so that witchcraft itself has that as well.
That's great, and it's a lovely segue, because whenever you feel to return to your replenishing boudoir, I will bring in our own KPFA wonderful Jan Etri, who's going to speak to us about the KPFA craft fair.
Okay.
So that's all wonderful. So craft, power, skill, and strength, and the resilience that we need from that, and to be informed. I love the British, it's going to come back to me, but the quote, to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. Mm-hmm. I never like limiting things to human, highest possibility of wolves, highest possibility, you know, but in a sense, this book, Witches and Pagans, that took you 40 years to write, is part of being a cultured person, right?
Well, and also, you know, culture itself, cultura, going back to the Latin, is that which grows up.
Yes.
You know, cultivate. Cult has become so negative, really pejorative term, but originally cult was the whole spectrum of everything that grew up within culture, within folk tradition, of ceremony and symbol and the dances and the masks and the drums and whatever else, the names, the proverbs. You know, and so that gives us a different perspective, because where we stand at the other end of that historical funnel is at a time when there was a systematic repression of that culture, you know, and a misrepresentation of it, which is what I'm trying to undo here.
Yes. No.
The things again.
I'm sorry, say that. I'm trying to undo and
to undo all of the effects of the legacies of the witch hunts, of the Inquisition, of the conquests, all of the ideological stains that have been branded into culture, that we are still, you know, we're carrying those legacies without even realizing them, and they're affecting us. And, you know, as we saw with the Nazis, those persecutory complexes can be resurrected to dire effect. And so, you know, we really need to understand the roots, the historical roots, and we need to recover especially the positive heritages that were being suppressed under this whole ideological grid.
No, and it's so perfectly resonant, of course, with now in 800,000 ways. The persecutory complex that you bring up, and also to, you know, part of the, you know, the trickster intelligence to which I'm devoted is to track everything back to its original liberating impulse before it got hoodwinked, before it got forced into state servitude, before, you know, before it got bamboozled, you know, and find that. And that's really, in a sense, you're tracking back, you're doing mythological archaeology, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or say archaeomythology.
Archaeomythology, you know, that's absolutely great. Yes, that's wonderful. We are in cahoots in that way. Because I love also, you know, as early Christian scholars remind me, that the word heretic was a term of praise. In early Christianity, it meant free thinker. You go, boy, that Max sure is a great heretic, right? only later would it get you killed once, as Pat Ewing says, we think of St. Paul as the early Karl Rove. Kind of kidnapping the very tolerant, you know, because she says in early Christianity, paganism, past lives, reincarnation, you know, and also for the longest time in the church, you know, abortion was fine until the, because they said the soul doesn't enter the body till quickening, when you can feel kicking and everything like that. And they're like, no problem. You know, so it's all these different fashions. But as we...
Polyanity.
Say again?
Polyanity.
Polyanity.
I mean, what you know, Christianity is presently constituted has very little to do with Yeshua of Nazareth and much more with the doctrines that Paul forged. And, you know, Romanization, the Romanizing influence that he represented. You know, he was a Roman citizen. But that's a whole
other
volume. We won't go there.
Right. Well, we touch on it, you know, because in a way, I mean, where to tease it into now, you know, here we are diving into the dark of the year, the winter solstice that will be December 21st. And little shout out, I will, on December 20th, I will be doing winter solstice event with wonderful drummer Jackie McMillan, Defiant Joy, at the Activist Hub, Busboys and Poets, 5th and K Street, near the Capitol, the White House, and the Trump Hotel. There we go. But we are diving for the dark, and like, so this is, you know, a resonant time of gathering, you know, King Arthur's birthday, the birth of the Redeemer in each heart, right? Not to be outsourced to, you know, into some whatever. So what would your heritage, your dedication speak to us about the winter solstice now?
I would remember and invoke the old goddess, the old spinner goddesses of the winter nights, the Modra Nacht, which means the mother's nights. That's a British form, you know, but this is a time of the dark of the year. They kind of, a fusion happened because the peasantry were, you know, as Christianity took over, they absorbed elements, certainly the calendar and the Christian holidays made an impact, but what they did is they mixed that with their old goddess. And so the 12th night, for example, that those nights begin with the solstice, and then you go all the way up to the Feast of the Epiphany. So that's the great Christian framework, that last part. But in the folk cultures, whether it's the Germans or whoever else, the Italians, Epifania, the Feast of the Epiphany, is Befana, the old goddess Befana, and she is the original one who comes down through the chimney and gives gifts to good children and coal to bad children. You know, so there's all these scripts of the mothers and the grandmothers, really, in this time of the dark and the creation within the dark and the reset that happens in that time. And so the sacraments of spinning have to be finished off. You cannot have your distaff loaded with more fiber to be spun, because that will anger the old goddess. You know, we have to respect her. We have to give her Sabbath, in a way. And so there were all these observances that the common people were doing. And so, you know, I call that back in. And let us remember all the various ethnic, there's a whole strands and strands and strands from each direction that we had these celebrations around the fires and the baking of loaves, the braid and holensalts, the braids of the goddess Hola. And, you know, all of that, I mean, much of that was carried along because the women kept it going. But, you know, it's all still there to be recovered.
Yeah, no, and no, I love that because I'd forgotten about Bifana. I mean, I've always been very fond of January 6th, Epiphany, Twelfth Night, but I didn't realize that it started on the solstice. Of course, that makes sense because I was like, oh, one, two, three, four, oh, it'll do. Yeah, because it's when the Magi, the astrologers, arrived in the Christian frame, but still a kind of transition of the Magi arriving. So we love that. But Bifana, I will dive into your fantastic book, which is in Pagans, to find more about Bifana and the...
She's in a later volume.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, you'll find plenty about the, especially the Crones chapter. The sixth chapter has the Kaliach, and it has the hags and the various old goddess forms in there, so you'll get a bunch. The Deesir in the Norse tradition, which are the ancestral women.
And I like, I mean, I think we want to excuse me, honor that, you know, all of these things, you know, on all the, and the calendrical attunement, you know, to the magic of the year, and magic being a willingness to cooperate with everything, it all lives in our kind of mythological DNA. And I do love also the, you know, late mycologist James Arthur spinning, as many people do, you know, Christmas as an Amanita mushroom festival, you know, that the shaman dresses as the sacrament red and white, and the mushrooms grow under pine trees, North Pole, and, you know, bring wisdom down.
All those Eurasian, Siberian.
Yeah, but I love, you know, even, you know, as we drive around or walk around and see the lights, you know, it's like humans are trying to have a DMT, ayahuasca, magic mushroom, solstice experience. You know, it's sort of like the toxic mimic, but the little fairy lights, the magical quality, the magical quality of this time of year of redemption, yeah?
Well, yes. I mean, it's the return of the light is coming.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's something that, you know, it's... we can really use right now.
No, absolutely, and I know that you can take your own pulses to, as because we will have a full on complete you next week. But I love our conversing turning with right now. So you know, we were speaking just about putting some standards. You know, because if everything right now, so let's say dominance and empire want to die. You know, want to go into the, you know, but they're having this sunset effect of glowing most strongly. Wow! And so everything's back. The Inquisition is back, and I'm. When I stepped out of Cleveland, the Republican convention, because I went to both on behalf of Trickster News Service and Pacifica, I felt that the most workable metaphor was that Donald Trump was possessed by a cunning demonic retrovirus, and I did really feel that, and I'm quite fond, without getting spooked and everything, but I'm quite fond of the metaphor of possession, and I did think, you know, going, oh, okay, so it's so strong, so how do we make sure he doesn't get repossessed? How do we get rid of that demon, or maybe a more fun one? But you can see it, you know, when the demon leaves him and he kind of goes flat, and then when it gleams through his eyes, are you okay with the metaphor of possession?
Yeah, and I would even take that and extend it more broadly, because Trump is a symptom.
Yes.
And, you know, the real possession, I talk about the cultural spells upon women, upon people. You know, this whole history of building up authoritarian dogmas of enforcement, the persecutory culture that really allows the powerful and the greedy to run the show, you know, and the history of that is something that we have to really look at, because that has been, they were very successful in manipulating people using those cultural spells and those memes. You know, we're number one, and all of those memes.
Right.
Very, very much speaking to people whose own objective self-interests are actually vitiated by the policies of the person they voted for. you know, I mean, working class people who are going to lose their Medicare and all the rest of that stuff. And so, you know, that's why I believe for a long time we have to deal with these deep legacies, these toxic legacies of all the Inquisition, the witch hunts, and the conquests, and the Crusades. I mean, look how the Crusades came up. George Bush was able to bring that right back up again, you know, and people responded because none of this has really ever been digested or dealt with. People have it at an unconscious level, but they're not really aware of the historical base that this comes out of. And so they respond to it in ways that are really, they're manipulated emotionally. And that's really hurting us. Look where we're going. I mean, this, you know, I think we were all in a state of shock. I was, at least, for 2 weeks after this thing happened. It wasn't like I didn't think he could win, but it was like the actual fact that he had at least prevailed according to electoral college slave state rules, you know,
right.
was and all that that implies because of what we see, you know, the very worst of the worst being put in charge of each of the departments
that
they're supposed to govern.
That's what I meant by the unfurling horror, each one greater than the one preceding it, going, oh, my God, could it get worse? Oh, yes, it could. Oh, my God. Oh my, yeah. And it is conniption fit inducing and in so many ways. Like, so exactly the quality and dedication of your work, you know, we do want to know. And as you say, the deep toxic legacies, the cultural spells. And I did have a moment. I mean, when I stepped out of Cleveland, I had a moment in which I did sink to my knees under the stars going, oh, we're getting smoked. We're getting smoked on our strong suit of stories and metaphor. You know, which is again your great dedication, right? That we all good-hearted people should want to cultivate the craft of inclusive story and magnetizing and metaphor, right? And we kind of let it go so that it could be hoovered up by the toxic mimic, the demonic. I'm comfortable using that. Yeah.
Well, you know, and we had marketing meisters. The advertising men took over U.S. politics. I mean, with the help of the Koch brothers and all the funders that pay for all of this, but they have applied, and they have been since Reagan. They've applied those techniques in casting cultural spells over the whole populace. Well, not the whole populace, but enough to make it possible for them to, you know, get it keep in power.
Yes.
Even as badly as things have gone under their rule.
Right. Well, yes, the marketing meisters, that's right, again, the toxic mimic. And, you know, I started off this year going, you know, the con man and the trickster. And it was such an appropriate conversation when we had Bernie in the mix, because it was, we have the toxic mimic, the con man, here's how you're being snookered, it's by those people. And Bernie going, here's how we're being snookered, and here's what we're going to do together. You know, and so it was good, and I feared, you know, I was absolutely willing, you know, for Hillary more than Trump, but I feared that she did not have the story craft. She did not have the, here's where we're going. Here's where we're going. And it's like, so the craft, but I mean, she is a Scorpio witch. She's been a bad witch on occasion, but I was working for her witchcraft, and I think she did kind of come alive in a likable way, in a curious way at the end, you know, as Venus and Scorpio transited her sun. She kind of got her stuff together, but it wasn't enough.
You know, she was holding herself back. I think that her advisors really did ill, you know, because she had been having to suppress herself as a woman all those decades.
Right.
And they started, there were witch hunt cartoons about Clinton all the way back when she was first lady. Lots of them. I have a collection of them somewhere, you know. And so she was always fighting those memes. And the way of doing it was to be a good girl. And that's what they told her to do in the debate. I'm like sitting there and tearing my hair because she's smiling as he insults her, you know. And it's like, okay, Scorpio, get in there. Fight back.
I
think that the habit, as Samantha Bee was pointing out, the habit of having to behave in that way for such a long time is hard to kick. It's become ingrained in you.
The habit of wearing a habit. Yeah, exactly. Nun, witch, courtesan, right? All these different forms. So there is that. But also can you guide us to put some standards to discern the Inquisition on the table, because so there's a phenomenon now, the false news, and it's so tricky because there's kernels of truth, and I love conspiracy, and Freud said no paranoia without real persecution, and I do think we should be creatively suspicious even more. I mean, the antidote is like, no, more, you know, but in the ill-educated modernity, people seem to be capable of being bamboozled by their desire to not be bamboozled. And maybe you could put some criterion on our work table for us.
Yeah,
that'd be really
great.
Well,
you know, the Inquisition, right? Again, we're back to authoritarianism. There can only be one truth, and we are in charge of it. And we are going to tell you what to believe, and if you do not, that is thought crime. That is religious crime, as one historian of the Inquisition put it. You know, and he believed it, too, Edward Peters. But, you know, that the memes that they put out of devil worship, and how destructive. Here's this concept that arises out of the persecution of European pagan religion, and then later of the witches, and this gets exported to the whole world as a way of repressing and disrespecting and devastating, really, indigenous spiritual traditions.
Right.
You know, so that's one piece of it. Another piece of it is ethnic persecutions, because with the Inquisition we have not only witch hunting, which was a misogynist undertaking, but we have the persecution of the Jews by the Spanish Inquisition and of the Muslims. You know, there are all these aspects to it. And then when the Inquisition is exported to Mexico and South America, then you also see the persecution of indigenous religion and African diasporic religion, again, as devil worship. And so I think the question on the table for us is, how do we overcome, and I think satire is a big part of it, but
yes,
how do we overcome the control of media, because they have this giant stage with the microphones on it, and, you know, they broadcast these frightening spells into people's consciousness, and it's like, oh, the Muslims are going to get us, or whatever it is. You know, the horrible misogyny that's been shot out and renewed, really, through the Trump candidacy. And so they get people to go for that. And people are afraid. And what they do is they use these memes to manipulate their fear. You know, that's where we stand. And so the question is, how can our stories be heard, first of all? I mean, we can tell them, and I think the Internet has been a great way for us to, you know, more points of view to emerge, and sometimes even get picked up by the mass media, because first they start as a viral social media phenomenon. But, you know, here we have now Trump talking about putting controls on the Internet and possibly lifting net neutrality, and, you know, so we have a lot to strategize about.
Yeah, and the you know, as we were speaking backstage, you know, the distinction between illusion, which comes from in ludo, in the game, and delusion, which is de ludo, out of the game. You know, again, our dreams, our vision, our, you know, working shape-shifting illusions, good, whatever's workable until it's not, and then we come up with other metaphors. But the delusion and the creation of, on one level, on purpose false news. Then there have been a number of, you know, stories of, you know, tracking to the disinfo, you know, .com, just a guy who was just, he admits, you know, making stuff up, a woman buying weed in Colorado with food stamps. He goes, I just made that completely up. And I made up completely the FBI agent who was, you know, breaching Hillary's emails, who was murdered. You know, he doesn't exist. He didn't, you know, but he said, at first I was making up stories for left and right, but the advertising and the hits were, the right was more hungry, so I just went that way, even though I was voting for Hillary, you know. So he's just making stuff up, but he was making $30,000 a week.
He went for the money and he went for the power, right?
Yeah.
And so there was no ethics in that.
Right. And then, so that's on purpose, and then a lot of the kind of resonating, you know, sharing of stories are coming out of, you know, just kind of ingenious hackers who need to be liberated into doing something good, you know, in Czechoslovakia and Vietnam and whatever. And then there's the right-wing memes, and there was, you know, a huge reactive swing from so many of the Bernie people into, like, bah, into Hillary hatred, where they were prey to all the, they began quoting Breitbart and really sketchy news people. And it's like, oh, team. And then vituperative, that any critique could not be countenanced. Like, no. So we go, ooh, all right.
You can't tell me what to believe. I'll vote for who I want.
Well, yeah, that you know.
I saw so much of that on Facebook.
I guess there was, and then I do want to protect the bookstore down the street from where we are in D.C. where I am in D.C. right now, Politics and Prose. It's the last independent bookstore that's of any depth in Washington, and it was accused of having tunnels under it to kind of pizza and the child in it. And so what I want to kind of put out, going yes. Child pornography and abuse of children is a problem. I mean, see, it is terrible.
That's the greater truth part, is there's a real concern people have about that, which can be leveraged and which they did.
Yeah. And so that's again, and it's like who's being played by whom, layers and layers and layers, and there we go. Okay, so that's, I suppose, we then around this time kind of. Well, there's the cauldron in a way, and we go, all right, into the cauldron, that which, well, what do you want to throw into the cauldron at the end of the year, that which diverts the toxic
What
night?
Shall we give to the night, yeah?
Exactly, I love that, yes, exactly.
Well, here's something, because, as far as what do we do and what we're going to do, I mean, we're not through yet with the DAPL thing, I don't think, but, there was the victory, at least for now, at Sacred Stone Camp, and the whole movement, the whole pan-Indigenous movement arose there. You have the people in support. You've got people of settler descent coming there to support the water protectors. And you even have the veterans coming and asking apology in the dress of Indian Wars military.
Right.
And kneeling in front of, and so that all of that happened. And what one of the things I think that really needs to be on the table is something that Arvo Looking Horse, who was a prominent figure in that, has said about the recovery of ancestral legacies. And he talks about all humanity has to reconnect to the indigenous roots of their own lineages to heal their connection and responsibility to Mother Earth.
Right.
And so, this is part of the undertaking that I'm doing with this book, is this series of volumes to try and both recover heritage, recover that which is valuable, not that we'll do it the same way, but we need a place to stand that's authentic. And, we need to know where we came from. And we need to know what those of us who are of European descent, what we have in common with all the cultures of the world at our root, at our
right. Well,
and to know that and be able to name it and to be able to reenact parts of it that speak to us that still have value. And that's because cultural appropriation has been a problem as well. And so, in this very multi-ethnic world that we live in now, there's a lot of fusion and sharing going on, but I think that there is an aspect to this that, not only do we see the roots of the toxic and all of the need to understand how the harms are enacted and what are the ideologies underlying them, and what kinds of justifications are spun for them that get people to respond to them, but we have to also be able to see the remedy, which is sacred consciousness.
Indeed, and when the veterans addressed as cavalry apologized to the Native Americans, it was on Custer's birthday.
Yeah.
So we're going to segue. I'm going to bring in our great ally Jan Etri to guide us into the KPFA craft fair. I will reluctantly release you.
I'm off to my sick bed now.
Right. Well, your bed of replenishment and thank you so much. And we will have opportunity next week to dive fully and richly into this fabulous book and the incredible dedication that you have to offer all of us right now, which is so wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. To be continued then.
Absolutely. Thank you. So that's great. There goes Max, and Max will be back next week because we have a radio station and a radio show. And Jan, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Caroline. It's a pleasure.
Hi, sweetie. That's great. Well, let me while just again remind or inform our dedicated listeners to this council disguised as visionary activist show that we are offering Max Dash's fantastic book. I mean, really, Witches and Pagans: Women in European Folk Religion, 700 to 1100. Took her 40 years to write, but so pertinent and useful, as you can tell. That's for a pledge of $150, and I will be offering, yes, once again, rarely, you know, one astrological reading with me to get to convene the full council of you and get you up to speed to contribute your medicine to the world at this time of dire beauty, for a pledge of $1,000, because we need this station. And you can have both of those things, you know. Well, there's only one reading with me, though, by calling 1-800-439-5732 or 1-800-HEY-KPFA or donating online at kpfa.org, because we have a pretty great global audience. Hello, hello, hello. So we will to and fro, but also you are here, Jan, oh crafty one, oh maker of quilts, you know, oh dedication to craft, and don't you love that craft means power, skill, and strength?
Oh, I do. Yes.
We do love that. So guide us to this other way that people lucky enough to be in the Bay Area can support KPFA and have a defiant joy in seeing beautiful things and buying beautiful things as presents, yeah?
Yes, we buy beautiful things from the people who make them and support them in their year-round effort to be self-supporting craftspeople and artists. When we will be doing this at the 46th annual KPFA Crafts Fair, which has been renamed the Craneway Crafts Fair. If you Google it, either one will come up. You can find it anywhere on the web. The event is December 17th and 18th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Craneway Pavilion on the Richmond waterfront, a beautiful location, which is why we renamed the event. We would love to see you at the end of the road, Harborway South, where the Craneway sits right on the water. Its views are stellar. The air is beautiful. The water is amazing. The boats going back and forth are amazing also visually, and that's outside the building. And then inside the building, we'll have 200 booths of crafts and artwork. We'll have nonprofit organizations that we love to support as a community radio station. We'll have some entertainment. We'll have food offerings. And we will have a lot of joy, be it defiant or otherwise. It will be a joyful gathering.
I think, yeah, well, we're all diving for the dark in the winter solstice. And I do love this craft fair and craft fairs. This is a tradition. And I love what you said, you know, yes, to buy things from people who made them, as our often radio guest Martine Prechtel says, you know, to feed the indigenous soul, again, segueing here, weaving everything, you know, have around you things that you know who made them, so that, because they carry a story and they weave a quality of intimacy. Venus, beauty, art, intimacy, art weaves us together. So, yeah, so I love your dedication to this. And I did see the photo of you with your fantastic quilt, Jan Etri.
Yes. Yeah.
That's great.
I have a lot of fun in my studio. I love to sew, and the quilt community in the Bay Area is really strong. They do a show every other year at the Craneway, the Voices in Cloth show from the East Bay Heritage Quilters, and it's a membership show. Anything goes. It's eclectic, and it's Bay Area, right, all the way. It's East Bay, and what a lovely group of people that I have joined in with. So that's so much fun, and that's what I do in my, you know, my off time. But my on time is now. This is my on time, and I love the idea of knowing who made the things that you treasure, and also you can treasure the relationships that you make with the people who made those things. So
yes,
you can foster those relationships at the crafts fair, and people do. They come back year after year, both the visitors and the exhibitors. New exhibitors come, new visitors come, but the culture continues to evolve because we're knitting it all together ourselves.
Right. And remember, knitting and weaving, everything real is also wonderfully metaphorically useful. That the when Hercules was behaving badly and about to appoint the head of Exxon as the Secretary of State and destroying the world, the gods got together and they sentenced him to go to the underworld to learn knitting and weaving, to weave back the fabric of creation that the Dementors had been sundering. And we go, knitting and weaving.
We've got some people to send down there these days, don't we, Caroline?
We do.
Yeah.
That's right. And also, yes, nominations are accepted. Again, the longest night, the wheel is turning. What will we give to the night? Mm. No proper names. But demons possessing Dementors of Doom, all that. So the jolly defiance. So let me interject and help me co-pitch, Jen, and we'll come back to the fair and to and fro, right? But as our team knows, in the midst of this atmosphere of unfurling horror, where we've almost possibly elected the Inquisition, promoted to temporary prominence, wonderful Faith Spotted Eagle, who gave such a great talk at Standing Rock the other day, who's also been a guest of this show, says about the XL pipeline at that time. She goes, I only call it the possible pipeline, because in my mind it's not happening, and I'm not even giving Trump the inauguration. But as we increasingly we love our station and our way of convening the Visionary Activist Show, so we are here to rouse resources as well as the craft fair, and we'll go right back to that to and fro. But yes, as a pledge enticement, as a thank you, this week, offering a fantastic book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion by Max Dashu. Hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. It is, as she said, it's not a book that you read in a night. It's a book that you have as a reference. It's a book that you give for Christmas or solstice or Hanukkah or holidays. It's a book that you want libraries to have. It's fantastically rich. Just the table of contents. Boy, is this woman organized. The webs of weird, tree and well, the Norns as shapers, philosophies of time and being, kinds of Norns. This is a great, dedicated, authentic, mythic scholar who has embodied this material, right? This is not modern makeup, flibbity-gibbet, new age, hooza-hooza. This is deep, rich, and the second chapter is Wicca craft, and we'll come right back to you, Jan, here. Spinner goddesses and distaffs, pagan women's weaving ceremonies, incantation and divination, cultural suppression via penitential books, Brigid, the first weaver, prophetess Fadown and her weaver's sword, omen rites and chanting over garments. Hey, do that at the fair. Raven auguries and Germanic battle banners, right? So see, crafting has always been, and craft fair is really, part of effective magic. And as we know, the Visionary Activist Show, for 20 years, wedding activism and animism, wedding, craft with our dedicated hearts. So we're offering this fantastic book for a pledge of $150 by calling 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-HEY-KPFA, or pledging online securely, kpfa.org. Because we do have a lot of listeners. It's a great, dedicated listenership. New people every week, but also long-timers, some people listening for 20 years, some people in Japan, hi there, some people in Australia, hello, people across America, although we are, of course, primarily KPFA's being, and for 20 years, beaming to you sometimes from KPFA studios and also from my home base of Washington, D.C., because it is increasingly crucial that we weave the web of connectedness between Washington, D.C. and California. Don't secede yet, although, or don't leave me behind. Help! Anyway, so I'm also offering one astrological reading with me. I must say I'm doing my best work ever. And that's for a pledge of $1,000. It's a wild card I have sometimes offer, and I've met wonderful, wonderful, wonderful humans. Sometimes people have pledged for that and given it to a good friend. What a great present. Again, by calling 1-800-439-5732. And anyway, you want to tout, but Jan, also, because you are the, are you the craft fair maven? I love the word maven.
Somebody calls me that, and I'm like, okay, I'm the craft fair maven. Well, I'm the coordinator. I've been doing it for 29 years, and it's wonderful. I love that you've been doing your show for 20 years. And we learn in the process of doing what we do year after year how to really take good care of what we love. So that's what I try to do every year with the show. It's a new show every year. It's a new experience every year, and it evolves. So we keep the weaving. I love that all your connections to being enchanted over garments and Bridget the First Weaver, and you keep bringing us back into the reality of texture. The texture of the materials that you feel when you hold something that's made by hand out of these materials that came out of the earth or out of the ground or from an animal, or, you know, this is what's tangible. This is what we can hold on to, and it connects us with each other. And your listeners know this all so well.
Well, it is, yeah, and again, to the crafting, it's like when we also hosted, people from Afghanistan dedicated to keeping the crafting of beauty alive. Wherever there's too much Mars, you know, let there be Venus. Again, the weaving, the art, the crafting. And I think craft fairs, you know, remind us where we journey back in time to where everything was meaningful art. You know, the cup one drank morning beverage from, and I'm sure there are potters there, it was meaningfully embellished with spirals, a little hello from the big picture, and, you know, the coat that one wore, and, you know, the Afghanis keeping the Venusian beauty of Afghanistan alive, and, you know, and keeping the soul of KPFA alive, but also the beauty, and then, you know, because it is good. Well, I do confess, whenever I've gone to the craft fair, it's been very hard to not buy myself things. As well as presents. But I still have them all. I have the pot holder from 8 craft shows ago. I have the incredible, you know, weave-in. I have the hat thing and the thing, as well as many things I've given away. And I do want to, you know, even though it's unfair, I just want to do a shout out of, you know, who I would make a beeline for if I were physically there, which is I love Kuna Prince. Kuna Prince shoes. They are the most wonderful shoes, magical shoes in the world, and wonderful woman who's single mother who makes them. They're all ethical. She gets worn out malas from Peru and takes them to the Kuna Indians of the Caribbean, and everybody gets paid well, and they make these fantastic one-of-a-kind shoes, and they are going to be there at the KPFA Crafts Fair. I love her, Natalia. And the shoes last forever, but you'll always want more. Do you want to bring up favorite people, not to omit anybody, but just to kind of prime the pump, Jan? Do you have favorite chocolate makers, favorite tapestry people, favorite hats that you like? What?
Okay, so we're true confessions here. We're making a beeline for certain booths when we get into the show.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
We are.
Well, any chocolate booth works for me, so there are maybe four. I'm a ceramic freak, so I really have to. I have to go to every ceramic booth and pick up pieces and turn them over and see how they were made and probably purchase them. And since I can't fit any more in my cabinets, I'll have to be giving those away. But that's okay. You know, that's people learn to love the gifts they receive, even if they don't quite know how to appreciate it at first, because maybe they're used to, like, technology stuff all the time, or, you know, like spending their money on, I don't know. I mean, I sort of see this sort of, let me find something that speaks to my soul. And maybe it is technology, and I'm fine with that. But when people come to the crafts fair and I see the demographic of people who are there, they are, generally speaking, people who are typical kind of Berkeley Bay Areans, where they're just going to do what they want to do when they want to do it. Thank you very much. And the crafts fair is right up there in their holiday schedule of, this is what I do every year, and it's in my tradition. And this year we're very lucky because Hanukkah starts December 24th. So we have and that doesn't always happen, of course. So that's synchronized for us very nicely this year. So we're opening the doors to, you know, we're really grateful when people support KPFA by coming to the fair and the artisans who are in the show. That's the whole thing. It's our raison d'être, you know. It's what we do and why we do it.
And remember, for those people who are lucky enough and informed enough to have seen the fantastic satirical old dark show Brain Dead, I can't recommend it highly enough as a useful metaphor. It doesn't sound like you want to see it at first, but it's, space bugs from outer space take over politicians and then other people's brains, and the symptom of that is conflict and an unwillingness to compromise and a kind of righteous finger-waggy thing. But the cure there is a cure, this is not too much of a spoiler, is chocolate and sex. chocolate, sex, and salami, apparently. It drives the space bugs out of your brain. Chocolate has many purposes, and as Jan has been enticing, there's at least 4 chocolate booths. And, yes, chocolate, we want fantastic chocolate so that we're not taken over by the invasion of the body snatchers or anything like that. Chocolate is an excellent sacrament. And let me also remind us that we are honoring the Craneway Craft Fair, which is also known as the KBFA Craft Fair, which will be December 17th and 18th. Do you have bells, Jan Etri?
Yes, I do. Someone in this office is having a phone call.
Oh, I thought it was craft bells. All right,
Isn't that lovely? I think the timing was perfect.
It was pretty good. It was like the angels are descending. I did believe that when bells ring, the fairies and the magic comes in. So that also is a way of supporting KPFA with the extremely modest admission fee, for goodness sake. So that's a wonderful thing. But let me also remind our team that, yes, we are in Fund Drive and for the Visionary Activist Show. Just to let the grown-ups know that people, we are offering, I am wildly and deeply enthused about the work of Max Dashu. And 40 years to write this book, Witches and Pagans, Velada Press, and she is making it available as a pledge, thank you, as a pledge enticement, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, for a pledge of only, really, $150. That it is a thank you gift, and it's rich, rich, rich for your winter reading. Names of the Witches, Chapter 3. This woman is very wild and organized. I want to be like her. Names of the Witch, meanings of witch words in European languages, prophetic witches, knowers, wise women, diviners, sortiaria, sortilega, and sorceresses, staff women, chant, invocation, charms, healing witches, herbalists, herb chant. You can find a lot of this at the craft fair. Mugwort and the serpent initiation of Chernobyl. Holy moly. Shapeshifters and wolf witches in Ireland. I must turn to that page immediately. Wolf witches in Ireland and Scandinavia. Nightfarers from Hagadissa to Hex. A litany of ethnic witch names. And that's only Chapter 3. That's the outline of Chapter 3 for a pledge of $150. And then I'm offering one only for the, nothing more for the rest of this year, an astrological reading with me. For a pledge of $1,000, it's the wild card thing, just to pump up our income for this show. It's really, but it is pretty great, and I will even bump you ahead of waiting list, maybe before Twelfth Night if you sign up for that. And it really is a guiding of you to your own wise autonomy, a convening of the council of you. So I'm wildly enthused, and you can give it away as a present. What a fantastic present, or have it for yourself, whereby to become a present for the world. So you can have Max Dash's fantastic book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, for a pledge of $150, or a reading with me, only one, for a pledge of $1,000, by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or donating online, kpfa.org. What else enchants you, Jan Etri, about the KPFA Craft Fair, which is December 17th and 18th, 10 to 5, at the Craneway Pavilion?
Well, as you can imagine, Caroline, after 29 years of being the organizer of this event, I have forged amazing relationships with the artists and craftspeople that will be showing up, and some... not all people will be coming back. And one, for instance, leader, she's been, Brianna Kaufman led the pack for a long time, and she succumbed this year. She'll not be with us physically. And
succumbed to death?
Yes, she did.
She succumbed to death. Okay.
Yes, she did. And I'm still grieving, because she was someone who came out here from New York in the early, like in the hippie days, started her own life on Telegraph Avenue, met the man of her dreams. They had a child they named Bear, and he's a lovely human being. And, you know, her tradition will live on, but she was the originator of it. And so it opens my heart to know that this is now, and it will not last forever. And I cherish the fact that I have the opportunity to do this work and to present this event for the community, and that the community will revel in it. And that's like the umbrella overview of what it is that thrills me about this event. And the rest of it is like I'm on the ground, like boots on the ground, because there's so much to do. But doing it with joy in my heart and with an open heart. And one of the reasons why we changed the name of the event to the Craneway Crafts Fair is because the people who are running the Craneway right now, the most amazing set of human beings, I love them and working with them, and it's vice versa. So I just wed the idea of the KPFA Crafts Fair with Craneway by changing the name to Craneway Crafts Fair. And I think visitors who have been there before will understand. They know, and new visitors will understand, that there's something very special. There's a special spirit in the building, and you've been in there too, Caroline, so you know. It's got some kind of spirit space going on in there that I find to be really compelling, and I want to go back, you know?
It is very light.
It is very light. Well, the ceilings are about 50 feet high, right?
Yeah.
All that glass.
And then let's weave the magic of now. Let's weave the magic of now. You know, as we're, you know, as Mercury right after the craft fair, right? Go get crafty things. You know, and see Saturn. It's the Saturnalia we're diving for. Saturn says just by adding dedication to any act of generosity, it increases its magic. You know, by the buying of this for my friend, may it be that, you know, her life unfold well, and we all, you know, overthrow the Dementors of Doom, and may it be that the day after the craft fair on December 19th, when the Electoral College gathers to vote and Mercury stations and retrogrades, you know, may uncertainty waft into their hearts and moral obligation, because anything could happen, you know. And as we're stirring the story cauldron, you know, and again, I just want to honor the craftiness of Jan Etri and the craftiness of the fair and the craftiness, the wonderful, remember, as Max explained to us, that craft means power. Power, skill, and strength. And we go, ooh, craft fair, power, skill, strength, you know, and to have totems that are tangible, sensual emblems of invisible dedication and what we give to each other as blessing wrapped in, you know, molecules of matter. We go, that's great. And just to, again, I'm just going through Witches and Pagans, the incredible table of contents outlined, Chapter 4, Valour, Sorceresses in the Norse Sagas, Staff Women, Staff Names, Distaff, Symbolism. Yeah, I bet you might be able to find a staff at the craft fair. Archaeology of Women Buried with Staffs by Country. A chant came to her lips. Shamanic Trance, Flight and Yawning, Cultural Influence of the Sami. Right, again, and what she was saying again, all these, you know, craft is magic. Handmade things have people's embodied dedication in them. It is beautiful. It's an ancient, ancient gathering. And a craft fair around the winter solstice. You know, runes, divination, fire and water, crystal balls, heathens, pagans, rune magic, mystery, symbols. This is chapter 5 of Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion. Whether you're a witch or a wizard or aspiring or a scholar or just somebody who wants to do great good in the world, to be an activist, animist, this is a wonderful book that we are giving you as a thank you gift for pledging $150. A mere thing. Of course, any amount of money is completely wonderfully welcome, and magic by putting the dedication. You know, may the station continue at a time of craziness where we need each other even more. May the Visionary Activist Show, where we gather in council and have, you know, ingenious solutions to problems in a wide array, and give voice to so many indigenous leaders and so many, you know, people who have, you know, the culture of reverent renaissance rising from the rubble. That's what we're here for. With a huge, you know, and expanding dedicated listenership that includes many, many people who, some live on the street, some live in prison, some live on military bases that feel like prison, and they say that this show really is a lifeline, that there are others like them. They hear their own voice coming back to them. We hear voices from Yosemite, and I mean, all of that. So you're pledging for that, and this is a thank you gift. And then I'm also offering one astrological, mythological, you know, reading with me, by Zoom or Skype or phone or whatever the thing is, for a pledge of $1,000. And so the book Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, really great, for a pledge of $150. 1-800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. So what else gives you enthusos, Jan Etri, at the KPFA Craft Fair? Enthusos meaning that which makes the divine within you dance.
Oh, how sweet. I'm just, that feels good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I have to kind of do some factual stuff. I need to tell people that there's plentiful free parking on site. And
yeah,
that's because, again, of our loving relationship with the Craneway folks. And we run a free shuttle from the Richmond BART station all day, both days. It's Saturday and Sunday, December 17th and 18th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Craneway Pavilion, which is 1414 Harborway South in Richmond. And the website is cranewaycraftsfair.com. So please visit the website. Please visit the fair. And let's all be kind, exquisitely kind to each other. And, Caroline, I love you. Got to say that.
Ah, good. Do you want to entice people to pledge?
Oh, my goodness. How could someone not pledge for this amazing, wonderful book that you're outlining? It's beautiful.
She outlined it. I want to go back in time and follow in her footsteps of the organized, magical, dedicated, factual, fantastic mind of Max Dashu, and she will be returning next week, where we dive even more deeply into her offering and tease it into the pertinence of now, because there is an Inquisition. You know, I mean, it is the war on women, the war on the earth. You know, the tide turning victory at Standing Rock. But already the company says, no, we're going to keep drilling, you know, thing. And the Trumpelstiltskin dementors say we want to privatize Native American land. This is a mainstream news story, not a false news. This is a real threat. You know, it's like, oh, my God, it's incredible. There's much at risk. But again, what is so powerful about us, about DAPL, you know, the changing of the word protester to protector, so good, because as we know, protest means to grab your balls. It comes from testes. So protector, we are protectors of life. We are dedicated protectors of life. And so it is a useful, incredible book. The Witch Holda and Her Retinue, Women Who Go by Night with Diana, Goddess of the Pagans, The Witch's Ride, it goes on, the timeless spinning of Ferta, the swan-footed Mother Earth who nurtures all to luxuria, sensuality. And then, of course, Witch Burnings. Right, so there is all of that. And we do a shout-out to our friend and guest on show, Charlie Murphy, who died several months ago, who wrote the Burning Times book, or song. You know, so many great people. And again, Max Dashu's book ends with the last chapter is Voluspa, the Sibyl's Prophecy, Norse Cosmogony, the Nine Worlds in the Tree, Nine Wood Women, Nine Giantesses. It goes on. As she was saying, you know, for all of us to track back to our own indigenous roots, you know, which is all about cooperating with nature in a wise way, that's the Renaissance. And I think when we go to craft fairs, you know, we are connected with people who are, you know, intimately, you know, tracking back and keeping ancient traditions alive, potting and weaving and crafting and quilting. So I know we're on our way out. I'm going to do one more shout out and toss it back to you, Jan, for one more shout out. But here's this fantastic book, Witches and Pagans, which is a thank you gift for pledging $150 by calling 1-800-439-5732. I love this book. And I'm going to read all of her things, but this will keep me quite busy for quite a long time. Right, Women Who Go by Night with Diana. Oh, you know, it's all of the Inquisition and adversity, and highly pertinent to now as we've, you know, apparently elected an Inquisition. And also offering one astrological reading with me for a pledge of $1,000. And we're on our way out. Again, the book, Witches and Pagans, as a thank you gift for pledging $150 to KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show, 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. Do you have one last shout-out, Jan Etri, for the Craneway Craft Fair, also known as the KPFA Craft Fair?
Right, the Craneway Crafts Fair, December 17th and 18th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., on the bay in Richmond, Harborway South. All are welcome. Admission is $12 general, ages 18 to 64. Over 90, come on in for free. And I just made that up today. I think it sounds great. And we want the 90 genarians to come in. There's a word for that. And Youth are free under 17, and senior and disabled is $8. For more information, craneway.com.
I didn't know you were allowed to say money. Okay, well, sorry, I interrupted your finale.
Am I right?
I didn't know we were allowed to say money on the air, but you can because it's the KBFA, it's the Craneway Craft Fair. Thank you so much, Jennetree. That's wonderful.
Thank you so much, Caroline.
That's great. Thanks always to Erica Bridgman and Timmy Olmsted in Washington, D.C. We are weaving Washington, D.C. and California together. All of our alliances are so crucial. You know, as Max Dashu writes, the sacred well of life flows out of the earth beneath a mystery tree whose roots reach into the underworld, its branches into the heavens. So it is. Woof, woof, woof. Thanks always, team. We will reconvene next week. I'm Caroline Casey. Woof.